Welcome, everyone. So happy to see everybody here this morning. Will my quizzers, all my quizzers, please come forward. Well, your Grace Church quizzers have been very busy over the past month preparing for our latest tournament, South Central Extravaganza in Biloxi, Mississippi. This is a regional tournament that's sponsored by the UPCI, and it allows for some teams to qualify for nationals, depending on where they place. It's always highly competitive, and it's full of some really good quizzing, but it's also a wonderful time in the Lord with a devotion and a youth rally. It's just a great time for the kids and for the coaches as well. But this year's tournament, we had a total of 53 teams from all across the Southeast, from Texas to Arkansas to Florida. In the experience division, Elena and Lainey, along with their new quizmate from Bossier City, Nick, quizzed really well against some very stiff competition. They stayed competitive down to the last question on all their games. Lainey was second highest scorer in one of her games. And I wanted to take a minute to say how proud I am of how hard Lainey and Elena have worked. I'm always so impressed with their attitudes and their actions. No matter how the quizzes play out, they always have a smile on their face. It's usually a smile that transitions to a fit of giggles at the quiz board, but that's okay too. And they are kind to everyone in wins and in losses. They're encouraging to their teammates, but they're also encouraging to the other quizzers. And they just continue to learn and grow as quizzers, and they just exemplify Christ in all that they do. So I wanted to say how proud I am of them this weekend. So on to our intermediate team of Noah, Joseph, and Heston, who did not make me transition to a fit of giggles at the board. I had high blood pressure spiked for 2 full days with these 3 boys, let me tell you. after they lost their second game, they played 9 games practically back to back to come back and win the whole thing, y'all. Yeah. So by placing first, they qualify to go to nationals. So they are now attending nationals. So, yay! Heston, they quizzed so well, guys, as a team. Heston was second highest scorer in 2 games. Joseph was highest scorer in a game. And Noah was highest scorer in 10 of the 11 games that we played. Noah was also the highest scorer on the all-tournament team with 120 point per game average. What they accomplished this weekend, it's admirable, and quite honestly, it's pretty unheard of. So, well done, guys. So, super proud of you and excited to be attending Nationals this year. It was a rewarding weekend on so many fronts. This study, this program, it continues to mold and shape these young people. They're putting in so much time and effort, and it is being rewarded in heaven and on earth. So, thank y'all for your support. Please continue to support us. The quiz season is really just getting started, so thank you all so much. Thank you, quizzers. Thank you, parents. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sister Courtney. One more time, let's hear it for the quizzers. Tremendous, tremendous. And as you know, it's a lot of work to quiz at all, and it's even more work to quiz at this level. And so we applaud their commitment, their passion, all of the hard work that they have done to get to this point, and I know they're going to continue to do great things. Amen. I want to welcome everybody here to campus this morning. We're glad to see you. Tell somebody sitting near you that you're glad to see them on a Sunday morning at Grace Church. Those joining us on Facebook Live and live stream, welcome. Glad you're here. Let me just remind you of a couple things before we get started with our worship set today. Don't forget your Mission Louisiana pledge. There's a tab set up on the website to give to Mission Louisiana, so remember that. Thank you so much, Grace Church, for participating in 21 Days of Sacrifice. That effort concludes today, and we're already seeing the outpouring that God is doing and honoring these past 21 days of seeking Him. So thank you for participating in that. Don't forget that this coming Tuesday morning here in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock, Tuesday morning prayer. And then finally, our Connect groups have gotten off to a tremendous start this week, and those will go all the way through May the 3rd. Very excited about our Connect groups this semester. A lot of good things happening. Stand with me this morning. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer. We want to pray over the service, pray that God's will be done today. And then also there's a very special need, Mac McNeil. This is Brooke Sandlin's father. Mac McNeil needs our prayers today, so let's call his name as we pray. Can we do that today, Grace Church? Jesus, we enter in today with praise. We enter in with thanksgiving, Lord, and we bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Where two or more are gathered, your presence is in the midst, Lord, and we already sense the power and the presence of God. Lord, have your way. Have your will in this place. God, let the anointing saturate the atmosphere. Let us leave changed in the presence of God and by the Word of God. And I pray for Mac McNeil. God, touch his body today. Minister to him. Lord, do a tremendous work. We'll be careful to give you the praise. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to the Lord as the praise team comes.
How great are your words, Lord?
us to come alive. He can speak the word and it will be. We can say it, we believe. Move the mountain to the sea.
Shut the mouth of the lion. Sweep the prison. worship you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Greater, what could save? grateful to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm in the presence of Jesus. And I'm glad we're all worshiping Him together. Thank the Lord. I'm glad to announce that Jesus is in the house today. And when He's here, it changes everything. Anybody else glad you're in the presence of God today? Let's clap our hands again to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank the Lord. Remain standing as you return to your seats. Along with Brother Dave, we welcome everyone here today. Thank you so very much for coming. And it is our absolute pleasure and honor today to have our district superintendent here with us today. We're also glad to have Brother Weber here today. The real superintendent is probably sitting over there. I'm kidding. Glad to see you, Sister Weber. Thank you so much for joining Brother Weber here today and making this just a wonderful time. But we do welcome Brother and Sister Weber here today, and we are certainly honored to have them. And also among our guests today, we are so thankful to have Brother and Sister Becton here from the great city of Shreveport. You'll remember the Bectons. They were our entertainment at last year's Christmas banquet. And told the son, my Sunday school class this morning, had I known they were coming, I'd have just had him. I don't know if you'd call it teaching a Sunday school class or not, but it might have been a little more fun. I don't know. But we're so glad to have y'all here today. Thank you so much for coming. They were in Biloxi with us at Bible Quizzing and chose to be with us today. We're glad y'all are here. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I want to mention quickly before we change the order of the service how, if I may use the word proud, but we're just especially proud of our quizzing teams. I'm always amazed at their incredible, incredible commitment and devotion to Bible quizzing. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, but they spend an hour or more virtually every day quoting, memorizing, studying. This is no small feat that they accomplish, and just so very thankful and very proud of them. And I would like to remind everybody that all the accolades that our team gets, I guess all but one of these kids here at Grace Church on our quizzing teams is related to Pastor. So that's where they get all of that. Thank you for your overwhelming agreement and what have you. We all know better, don't we? But we're certainly proud of them and so thankful for their undying commitment, devotion to the Word of God. I also want to thank Courtney. She comes up here and presents every time they have a tournament. She comes up there the following Sunday morning and presents, and sometimes her presentation can be filled with joy, and other times it's maybe not quite as joyful. Either way, she does it, and she is solidly committed as their coach for our intermediate team, Sister Farah, for our senior team. These ladies do an amazing job, and I'm very thankful for their commitment to Bible quizzing. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more thing. We're so excited and so thankful about our youth group, and Olivia and Aubrey has had a friend, Kelsey, that I understand they're kind of neighbors from what I understand, and Kelsey and her mom Christy have been coming to Grace Church for several months, and Kelsey received the baptism of the Holy Ghost last Sunday, and I'm very thankful for that. Absolutely. Very thankful for that. And I just spoke to her mom, and as soon as we can, she wants to be baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. So here in a couple of Sundays, we'll be baptizing Kelsey in the name of the Lord. Isn't God good? Oh, yes, He is. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank all of you that are facilitating our Connect groups. We're expecting a great semester with our Connect groups, and expecting some very positive, some very wonderful things to come as a result of what you're doing with people that attend Grace Church and certainly those that are unchurched. And we want to let people know we're here. We want them to know about Jesus, and certainly want them to experience Jesus through repentance, water baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. Again, we're so thankful to have our district superintendent, and I could stand here for a long time and give him a lot of accolades, him and Sister Weber both, of the wonderful things they're doing across our district, at our campgrounds. They're doing an amazing job, and I don't know that I know two more people that are more passionate about what they're doing for our district, for the campgrounds and so on, than these two people are. They're absolutely doing a fantastic job, and I'm very thankful to have Brother and Sister Weber as our district superintendent, and they're doing, again, a wonderful job. Not only are they doing a great job with all of that, but their ministry is certainly anointed. Both of them are certainly anointed. I believe they've been set apart by God for this time, and they're doing, fulfilling their calling well with all of their might, with all of their heart. We're so thankful to have them today. Brother Weber, come and preach to us what thus saith the word of the Lord. Let's welcome.
Well, grab your Bibles, and we're going to the book of Acts. I think that's the text I gave them, Acts chapter 2. And we're going to begin in the beginning of that chapter. And as I find it myself, and as you're searching diligently, that's a tough scripture to find for an apostolic, but we're going to give you a little time to look for it. Acts chapter 2. And while you're searching, I do want to say what a privilege it is to stand in this wonderful pulpit today and be able to break the bread of life and to deliver the word of God. That is a high honor. Amen. I don't think anyone deserves to do it, and anyone that has the privilege to do it ought to certainly recognize that. And I give high honor to the Quizzers and to their coaches. Wow, what an accomplishment. Heading to nationals, Noah being the all-time superstar great. He was up here playing the keyboard just a moment ago. They convict me of to learn the word and to know it. They should convict some of us adults to get closer to God and knowing his word. I'm thankful for what's happening in this youth group. It's good to see them again. Are you going to preach with me today? You're not just praisers, aren't you also lovers of the word? All right, I'm gonna look at you while I'm preaching today. All right, good honor to Brother Bunch, also Brother and Sister Murphy. What wonderful friends, and we go back a long way right here in Baton Rouge, and have served together different capacities, and I'm thankful for what they are doing right here in Central. And let me tell you, God must really love you folks to give you such leaders as you have. If he didn't love you, he'd just give you some old scoundrels. But he has given you such top-notch leadership that loves God, passionate about his word, the kingdom, and the mission. And you ought to be thankful for that. And it's great to be with the Bechtons. Sister Becton is our museum curator, and we're so thankful to have her here. If you have not been through our museum, we have the largest collection of apostolic artifacts in the world right there in our museum. And if you have not been through there, please go to the museum during our events and go through there and get a burden to know that we need a new museum. In fact, our museum needs to be in a museum. It is the oldest existing United Pentecostal Church building from Louisiana. We have shipped it right there, and it became our museum. So if you have a burden to build a museum, we'll receive that in Jesus' name. We've got a lot of fish we're frying right now. A museum is one of those things, but we're building a new boys' dorm, and we're encroaching $1 million in less than 1 year. We've raised nearly $1 million, and it's just, we're thankful. And to know that you're a part of that, amen. And then we're going to go after a new tabernacle, And I know people think we're nuts, but I like to be included in that group in the Bible that they called nuts. Yes, they turned their world upside down. They were passionate about it. We want to see the kingdom expand. And I also want to give honor to the district superintendent of Louisiana. We're so honored to be with her as well. And, you know, I just know it's true. I know it's true. So God bless you. Grab your Bibles. Here we go. Acts chapter 2. We're looking at verse 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2. We all should be able to quote this, all of us Bible quizzers. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all, everybody say all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This tells me that it's not just an additional gift. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It tells me that it is a part of the infilling of the Spirit of God into my life. The evidence is going to be their outflow of speaking in another language. How many of you have had that experience? Just sort of wave your hand here today. So I'm talking to the choir today, actually, when I say that speaking in tongues is a sign, an evidence in your life of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to talk this morning just a little while on this subject. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. There is nothing. You can try to find it out there. You can search far and wide, but there is nothing like the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you put your Bible under your arm or lay it down behind you, let's give him one more hand of ovation, of praise. We thank you today, God. What a mighty God you are. Let your power fall. Let your Spirit flow through this house. In the name above every name, in Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen. Please be seated in the beautiful presence of the Lord. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm so glad today that we serve a God of miracles. If there's ever been a day where we need miracles, it's in this day that we live in. You and I are held in bondage to the laws of nature. There are some things that we cannot do because we are natural beings and we live within the confines of the laws of nature. But I tell you gladly today that our God is a supernatural God. Amen. The laws of nature don't bind him. The laws of nature don't hinder him. The laws of nature do not restrict him. The laws of nature do not hold him back. Can I get an amen from the youth team? But our God is a miracle working God. He is not a natural God. He is a supernatural God. I think I'm preaching to people here today who should know something about his miracle working power. You've been healed when you were sick. You have seen him intervene in your life when no one else could help you and there was nowhere else to turn and there was no other solution. But this good God, this great God, this mighty God, this miracle working God stepped into your life and brought the situation under control. Let me say it again. We serve a miracle working God. Can somebody testify to that fact in this house? He's a miracle working God. The Bible bears out the fact that he is a supernatural God. To think that this God could take nothing, and by the power of his will and by the power of his word, he could cause everything that is to come into existence. I don't understand that. I try to wrap my mind around that, but all I know is that he is a miracle working God. And I need to talk to the analytical people in here today. You want to come out with 4 when you say 2 plus 2 is, and you want to be able to explain and line the facts out, and if it all factually comes to some conclusion and the answer is according to the facts, then it makes sense to you. But I tell you, God, amen, may never make sense to you when you start comparing him to a natural world, because he is a supernatural God. I don't know how he could cause conception in elderly Sarah like he did, but it's another testimony to the fact that he is a miracle-working God. This God that I'm talking about brought the plagues upon the land of Egypt. He rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. Do you really believe that? He brought water out of a rock. He caused bread to fall from the heavens, and they ate it every morning. He's a God who made a way in the wilderness when they came to a dead end and there seemed to be no other way out. He's the God who brought the quail on the wings of the wind. He's the God who spoke future through the prophets of God, to the people of God. This God I preached about today is the God who came to this world in human flesh. He turned water into wine. He opened the blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He caused the lame to walk. He commanded the winds and the waves, and they say, never hath a man spoke like this. He's the God who walked on the water. He fed the multitudes with just a little handful of lunch. I tell you that the Bible testifies to the fact that God whom we worship in this house this morning, the God that we sing about, the God that we praise today, is a miracle-working God. You ought to thank God that you have a God who is not contained by your and my mind. You ought to thank God that he is beyond what we can ask or even think. You ought to tell that devil of doubt that tries to convince you that your situation is hopeless and beyond help. You ought to tell that demon of doubt that he is not going to be successful in your life today. Because we're in an atmosphere where we understand that our God is a miracle working God. I know that there are 1,000 demons that don't want you to hear that this morning, but he is a miracle working God. Somebody ought to clap your hands, lift your voice, and you ought to thank him for being a part of your life. You ought to thank him for being in your life. You ought to thank him for being in your situation. You ought to thank him for being in control of everything that comes against you. He is a miracle working God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Praise God. We didn't come here to play patty cake for Jesus. We didn't come here to hear a pretty song. And by the way, what a beautiful anointing upon the praise team this morning. You could feel his presence. You could bask in the beautiful aura of holy, our holy God. We didn't come here just to watch. We didn't come here to get rid of a guilt trip that somebody might not see us this morning and think that we're not right with God, so we're going to go just to make sure nobody talks about us. That's not why we're here. We've come to this place this morning with an anticipation. We've come to this place, this house, this auditorium, this place of worship, the house of God, with expectation. We've come walking through these doors because we've got a real devil on our trail. And we've got real issues in our life. And we're facing a real world that doesn't want us to serve him and believe him and worship him. No, we've come here expecting something from that miracle-working God whose name is above every name, who just speaks a word and it is done. Praise God. Look at your neighbor. Say, he is a miracle worker. Come on, wake him up. Say, he is a miracle worker. Amen. We can rejoice when we hear about all the miracles recorded in the Old Testament and the New Testament in our Bible. We can certainly get excited as we hear about what God is doing in the lives of people today and even in our lives. But when we gather all of these miracles up and we search them out, you'll find none of them can be categorized as the greatest miracle. No miracle in the Old Testament, no miracle in the New Testament outside of the four Gospels, or included in the four Gospels, is the greatest of all miracles. I tell this congregation this morning that the greatest miracle ever known to us is the phenomenon that I read to you in your hearing this morning from Acts chapter 2, when it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There is nothing that compares with the Holy Ghost. It outshines every other miracle. You can have cancer dispelled. You can have depression deliverance. You can have issues and attacks and all types of things come against you, and God step in and walk you right through the middle of them. But nothing ever will compare to that morning or that evening when God filled you with His Spirit, baptized you in His presence, filled you with the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness from somebody who still believes that there's nothing like His Spirit in our lives? There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It's the greatest of all experiences. It's the ultimate of all things that can happen to you this side of heaven. Praise God. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get more glorious. It doesn't get any more magnificent than to receive and to be filled with, than to be baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. Just to think we have access to that right now. We have access to the glorious presence of God that can bring peace, that can move into our lives, and the adversary cannot stay in the same room with him. The adversary can't attack while God delivers. It doesn't work that way. When the miracle worker steps in, the adversary has to make up his mind whether he wants to submit to the miracle worker or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, he has to leave. So in this house, there's nothing binding you this morning. Nothing binding you that would keep you out of the presence of God. And not just the presence of God, but experiencing the power of God. You need a miracle in this house this morning. I'm telling you, you are your biggest adversary. If you just make up your mind, and right now you have an expectation that I don't care what has happened in the past, I don't care what it feels like in the present, I've got a God who holds my future in His hands. He is a miracle working God. Somebody shout amen. We find a lot of evidence in Scripture about the power of the Holy Ghost. But we don't often go to the world of science when we talk about the great spiritual experience of the infilling of the Spirit, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. In fact, we often say science deals with facts. And although the infilling of the Spirit is a fact, it is more of an act of faith than it is a fact. For you don't come before God with science. The Bible says you come before God with faith. Faith is that terra, it's that ground. It's that platform that God works in. And if you want to, if you're a person that says, when I see it, I'll believe it, you're doing this backwards. Because on God's ground, it is if you believe it, you will see it. And so in this room, we've got to turn some mentalities around because we came out of a very disturbing world this week. No telling what you faced on the job. No telling what you faced, amen, in society and rubbing shoulders with people that are being controlled by all types of spirits. And then you walk in here and you've got to be pumped and primed sometime to just say praise the Lord, because we come burdened down with what we've been wading through all week long. No wonder Moody preached on the Spirit. The old preacher in Chicago, Dwight Moody, he preached on the Spirit all the time. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. They found documentation, Brother Murphy, where he spoke in tongues. Dwight L. Moody. And one of his students asked him, he had a Bible college, why do you preach on the Holy Ghost so much? And this was Dwight L. Moody's response. Because we leak. Let me tell you, you need more than you got 2 years ago. Let me try this side. That's a tough side over there. We need more than what we got yesteryear. We still need an infilling. We still need to make sure that we're a reservoir that has a powerful Holy Ghost experience working inside of us. We leak. We walk through a world and we leak. The Holy Ghost is not so resident in us sometimes because our minds wander and our actions wander, and he has to pull us back, and we get back into his presence and we begin to receive his Spirit to be refilled, rebaptized. His answer for this hour is not just all of the surface miraculous actions that he can perform, but his answer for these last days is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If you're struggling, you need to pray through. If you're fighting things and your mind's starting to tell you maybe just give up, you need a dose of the Holy Ghost this morning. If it's been a long time since you've been renewed in the Spirit, praise God. This is your day, because the Spirit is going to move through this place, and there's not going to be a person in here that doesn't have the opportunity for a renewing and a refreshing, praise God, of the Holy Ghost in this place. A study came out of the University of Pennsylvania Health Department. It's very interesting. Now, this is not some small private institute. Penn Medical Institute is a $2.9 billion enterprise dedicated to medical education and biomedical research. Penn's School of Medicine's ranked number 3 in the nation in research-oriented medical schools. They have 1,400 faculty members. But for some unknown reason, they decided to study a number of people during the moment when they experience speaking in other tongues. The article is posted in Penn Medical News. You can look it up. You can Google it. It's there. It says, in a first-of-its-kind study, scientists are shining the light on this mysterious practice, attempting to explain what actually happens psychologically to the brain of someone while speaking in other tongues. This study involved taking pictures of the brain with these Pentecostals of these Pentecostals while they were speaking in other tongues. Radiologists measured the blood flow in different areas of the brain while they were speaking in other tongues. It's called single photon emission computed tomography. Don't forget that. It's a test at the end of the message. But that's not important. But by the blood flow, they're able to measure where activity is taking place in different parts of the cerebral areas. They measured the brain activity when these people were just talking or when they were singing. And then they measured the brain activity when those same people were speaking in other tongues. And what they found was during the regular practice of singing or speaking, radiology showed blood flow throughout the language centers of their brain. But when that person began to speak in other tongues, the blood flow ceased in the language part of their brain. Let me quote from their research. Our brain imaging research shows us that these subjects are not in control. Not in control of the usual language centers during this activity, which is consistent with their description of a lack of intentional control while speaking in tongues. In other words, these people were no longer in control of the language they were speaking, because the power is not of us. The power is from the Holy Ghost. And there is a misconception in our day that we gather in a room and somebody teaches us how to speak in other tongues. It's a class. But I tell you, not in this church and not in God's church. Speaking in tongues is the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, after this article appeared in medical journals all over the world, the University of Albany in New York did their own study of glossolalia, speaking in tongues. They studied the embodied patterns of religious behavior with biological outcomes. In other words, they wanted to see if speaking in tongues had any other effects to the physical body. So they gathered 52 tongue-talking Pentecostals from New York Hudson Valley. Their team discovered that when one of these men or women was speaking in other tongues, there was a reduction in circulatory cortisol and a rise in amylase, two common biomarkers of stress reduction. One of the biological scientists by the name of Christopher Lynn said they studied these 52 Pentecostals not only on Sunday, but they also studied them on Monday. And he said, I quote, "I wanted to see if people who spoke in tongues on Sunday and people who didn't speak in tongues on Sunday had different stress levels on Monday." This is the scientist. And he says, I quote, "It's what I expected. Those who spoke in tongues on Sunday had lower levels of cortisol on Monday," which is interpreted saying they are less stressed out on Monday. So if you came here just thinking the Holy Ghost was to get you to heaven, well, you know what? God would have just killed us immediately at the altar when we spoke in tongues, taking us directly to heaven if that was the only purpose of speaking in other tongues. But according to this study, if you are a tongue talker, if you get replenished and renewed, and you get filled with the Holy Ghost like this young lady did, it's going to be baptized, you're going to find out that your stress levels go down. You're going to find out everything the adversary is throwing at you in these last days. It won't have near the effect on a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled child of God. God has given us the answer for the end times. He's given us the remedy for everything the adversary would bring against us in these last days. It's called the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. Whew. Nothing. Nothing. Every day millions of people are sitting on counselor couches telling somebody what's stressing them out. Every day millions are going to their local bar asking for a drink just to help them forget what they're going through. But in the morning there is the stress, and there's the issue, and there's the problem. But right here in this sanctuary is a power that is beyond all of those synthetic, temporary answers. Oh, in this house, we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. In this place right now, We have access to His Spirit that He desires to reign in our lives. There is a power available to us in this room that can de-stress our lives, that can deliver our minds from anxiety. I don't discount counselors. I send people to counselors. I send people to places where they can get a practical view of their issue, to be able to take some practical steps, amen, to be better and be stronger. But there is no counselor I will ever send anybody to that is more powerful, that is greater than the counselor. His name is Jesus. He will deliver you. He won't just give you a temporary fix. He won't just give you a temporary out. He will deliver you and He will set you free. And who the Lord sets free is free indeed. There's nobody like Him, and there's nothing like the Holy Ghost. I want you to lift your hands right now. Would you say, Lord, I want to be filled with Your Spirit. I want to be full of Your Spirit. The apostle said, be ye filled with the Spirit. That tells me you can get a quart low. You can be a half full tank. You can be low on the Holy Ghost. Please hear me right now. The Holy Ghost can break a genealogical curse. It's not an exaggeration when I say that for the first 17 years of my life, I saw my father drunk more than I saw him sober. I saw things a child should never have to see. I went through things a child should never have had to go through. In my home, there was cursing, there was violence, there was turmoil. The police knew my address because they constantly got calls for domestic violence and disturbing the peace in our neighborhood. They'd pull up, the lights flashing. They would knock on the door. Miss Dorothy, that's my mama, they knew her. Miss Dorothy, where's Jack? They knew it was Jack that they were being called about. And by that time, he had passed out in the back, was across sideways on a bed. Totally, the next morning, not even remember what happened when we picked him up from the jailhouse, spending 24 hours in jail. That was something a child never should have to go through, let alone a spouse and a family. Not only was my father an alcoholic, but the amazing thing about this was all of his brothers, and I had a slew of uncles, all of his brothers were alcoholics. Every time I'd visit them all over Texas, every time I'd visit them, they came to the door with a drink. They went to bed with a drink. They got up with a drink. All day long, they drank. That was my father's family. I asked my dad about his father. I never met my grandfather. He immigrated from Germany. Came over and started his family in Texas. My dad wouldn't tell me much about his father, except that his father was also an alcoholic. We started doing some research, did a little family tree research. It led back to Germany, and all of these things were correct. We got to a place my great-great-grandfather was a mess. If I'm not mistaken, we saw signs and found articles, things that he had committed suicide. I stopped looking at that point. I didn't want to know anything else about the Weber clan. No telling what else we would have dug up. But it was a genealogical curse upon my family that every male Weber, as far back as we could go in our family tree, every male Weber became an alcoholic. It's just what happened. I've done enough research in those incarcerated and those behind bars to know that they were most of them, from dysfunctional families. They got into drugs because their daddy was a druggie. They started drinking because their mama was a drunk. It's called a genealogical curse. Science says that there is a gene that's passed down to a child from a mother or father who is an addict, and they have a high rate of possibility of following in the footsteps of their addict parent. And because of this curse, I should have already been through multiple marriages like my father. Because of this curse, I should have already been through a dozen clinics. As a child, I remember visiting the alcoholic ward, and there was my dad shaking. I'd come to visit him just across the river in Pineville, shaking because they're trying to detox him and get him off of the liquor, and he's shaking. And so we would go in. There was a little reception area that had a pool table, and families gather in there and visit with their family members. And I remember he was playing pool, and he would teach me how to play pool, and he just shook and could hardly hold the stick, just coming off of that liquor. I'd been in that alcoholic ward so many times, I could tell you everything about the interior of that place as a child. It was a place that a child should never have to visit. I remember my father taking me in bar rooms. Illegal. Shouldn't have been done legally, let alone by a parent. Take me as a 7, 8, 9-year-old kid, put me up on a bar stool at a bar where it was just a totally bar. There was no restaurant in there. It was a bar, dark, flashing neon lights, tons of pool tables and slot machines, and just sit me on that bar, and he'd sit next to me and just drink away. No wonder all of the male Webbers were alcoholics. They told and taught and directed their children in the same direction by their lives. I remember having a conversation one time with my father as a teenager. I said, "Dad," this was after he had torn things up the night before, and he had fought. I remember having a conversation with him. "Dad, do you remember what you did last night?" And he just tucked his head. Such a great man when he was not drunk. He would give you the shirt off his back. If it was the last shirt he had, he would give it to you. He was that kind of guy, except when he drank. He became very violent. He said, "I don't remember." I said, "Well, let me tell you." He did not even want to hear me tell him what he had done the night before. Pushing my mother around poles. All of our furniture had rips and tears, and you couldn't have anything nice in that home. Many times I would have to go in as a young child and take a cigarette off of his bed and put it out and put it in an ashtray because he fell asleep smoking in a back room. Things a child should never have to do. I remember one time he picked a fight with my brother-in-law, and my family was all there having a little gathering and a little get-together, and he came out drunk, and he was just angry and mad, and he started fighting and pushing people, and my brother-in-law stood up to him and was trying to calm him down, and he was screaming and cursing and swinging, and I was standing there just 10 years old, standing there looking at this, and I looked on the countertop in the kitchen, and there was a butcher knife laying there. I grabbed that butcher knife, and I walked between them fighting, and I pointed this butcher knife at my father, and I said, "Please take this and end my life. I don't want to do this anymore." Things a child should never have to face. And I looked at my family, and I thought about all my uncles. I thought about their addictions. I thought about the curse that went from generation to generation to generation all the way down to me. And I thought, how come I'm here right now? And it all has to be traced back to one difference, just one thing. There is no difference in me and all my uncles and me and my father, me and my grandfather. No other differences. This is the only difference. That at the age of 10, I was in a service just like this. I was so convicted. I wanted the Spirit of God in my life. I wanted the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. I wanted that experience. I'd heard it too many times to feel comfortable. And I got up when the preacher opened up the altar. I came right down and I sat. I knelt by an old red altar, looked like a pew without a back on it. It was right there. I knelt there and for an hour repented at 10 years of age. And what I was repenting of really is what I didn't want to be. I kept thinking about my father. I kept thinking about this curse that was in my life and I was next, just 10 years of age, thinking like that. My Sunday school teacher praying with me. My pastor coming by, Brother Anthony Mangan, G.A. Mangan, placing their hands on me. Vesta Mangan, my mom sitting in the chair behind me, my brothers, my sisters coming by praying for 1 hour. And then I began to have stammering lips. And my lips began to quiver. And I'm telling you, it felt like somebody was pouring warm oil from the top of my head, flowed down my body. And then all of a sudden, I began to speak in a language I'd never spoken before. Let me tell you, I can fool a lot of you adults, but I can't fool children. They're just real. If they tell you something, they just mean it. If you say, God's about to come, let's get ready, they believe it. And I received the gift of the Holy Ghost at the age of 10. That is the only difference that I can trace back in my life that is different between me and my father and all my uncles and my grandparents. When I was 10 years old, God filled me with the power of the Holy Ghost. And something happened in my life on that day that changed my life forever. And it changed my family that wasn't even a part of my life. It changed them forever. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And the curse was broken. I've never been drunk. I've been with that lady for 42 years. And all of my children have the Holy Ghost. And my grandchildren are receiving the Holy Ghost. No more shackles. No more chains. No more bondage. I am free, yes. I am free, yes. If you're being haunted by some things that haunted your family, amen. Your grandparents, your parents, whether it's alcohol or drugs or depression, I tell you what you need. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness? You need the infilling of the Spirit of God in your life. It'll break a genealogical curse. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell somebody here today that when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are filled with the power of God that moves into your life. I wish you would close your ears to the threats and the intimidations of doubt. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. And there has never been a better time to be renewed, to be replenished, to be filled with the Spirit of God than it is right now. There's never been a better time for you to just surrender again. There's never been a better time for you experience again, or maybe for the first time, after you repenting of things that displease God, things against His Word. You repent of those things. You tell God you're heading the other direction. You're going to make a 180-degree turn from those things that have brought a distance and separation between you and God. And you repent of those things and say, no, Lord, I'm not letting this be an excuse any longer. I'm not going to use a generational curse. I had somebody tell me one time, a lady, her husband was being unfaithful to her, and she says, he told me, Brother Weber, that that it's just what all of his family has done for generations. So I'm feeling like I'm guilty. I'm feeling guilty for saying it's not right. I said, no, don't feel guilty. That's wrong. It's not right. Don't just get used to a generational curse when you have something this morning that can break that curse. Your family deserves better. You deserve better. Generations to come deserve better. There's nothing, nothing like the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. That's the cry of the Spirit right now. It's come to me. Come on, don't push him away this morning. These altars are open. I wish everybody would come to the front of this room. Our guests, members of this local assembly, leaders, those that are in here that are new members, considering what direction to take. This is a good place for direction. This is a good place to stand in proxy for a family member that you might be believing for. This is a good place to come for deliverance and divine direction. This is a good place to come for stress relief and depression. This is God's answer for the end time. You need healing. There's nothing the Holy Ghost can't do in your life. You need strength right now. If you need forgiveness, it doesn't matter. The Holy Ghost can take care of it in this house. Come on, that's it. Find a place. Find a place and talk to him. Don't push him away. Come on, he is calling for you. He yearns to talk and to minister to you. He yearns to fill you with his Spirit. Come on, you can break the generational curse. Come on, that's it, in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Everything in this house, be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it. Be filled with the Spirit this morning.